listeners and watchers. Welcome to another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Tim Estradol, joined once again by the fabulous, back from France, Jill Simonello.
Hello.
How are you, Jill?
I'm tired.
No. You go to France twice in 3 weeks and you're tired?
I know. Crazy how that works.
And Chicago Auto Show. And we saw you in person in Chicago, or I saw you, I should say. I shouldn't talk to me in we tense. We have a great video up of Jill and I running around the floor where I'm really tired, but Jill is really excited. So make sure you watch that video, top five trucks and SUVs from the Chicago Auto Show. Or was it six? Five, six, something like that. All right. So enough of the chit-chat. I know it rolls on too long, and I've watched some of our videos and listened to our podcast, and I'm with you right there. I absolutely agree. So let's start with some all right, I got to bring it down a level. Got to talk about some sad news. The demolition teams are rolling right now in Janesville, Wisconsin. The Janesville assembly plant, which GM had for years and years and years, like a 30-year-old plant, is actually historically the oldest plant in GM's production facility history, is getting demolished today. As far as social media posts, there's no official news story on it, but people who live in the area said the demolition crews moved in the weekend, and they probably took President's Day off, and now they're bringing in bulldozers and gonna knock the building down. So, kind of sad thing. Side note, my dad worked there, and I was born in Janesville, so doubly sad. All right, I'm moving on. Done. Crossed off the list.
So, before you leave the GM plant news, just something else to note. GM has announced that they are going to be building the new Cadillac XT4 at the plant in Kansas. So, it had previously built, or still, I guess, built the Malibu, but Malibu hasn't been doing so well. So, there was concern that maybe the plant would close, but Cadillac is going to infuse new life into that plant with the XT4, which will be revealed in New York.
Great. That's really good news. I know that Oshawa is changing as well. Oshawa is going to build some of the prior generation Silverados and the new generations. Oshawa has been a big plant in GM's production for many years. And GM has put in, I think it's over $1 billion into the Texas plant where they build the Tahoe, Suburban, and Yukon. Arlington, Texas. I have an... I remember that because it's on my agenda to visit. I have it on my list of plants to visit. Okay, so yes. So why are they building new plants? Because car sales are hot. Actually, truck sales are hot. Trucks and SUVs. Cars are not. And that's leading to my next story. And you may have seen this on our YouTube. If you subscribe, subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. I put up a story last week up from Kelly Blue Book, who did every month they do a month versus month average of trucks and SUVs. Sales, and they talk about that kind of stuff. And frankly, month versus month is boring. I like to look at the year end because, yeah, come on, it's a year end, gives you an idea. So I have it up there. It's on pickuptrucktalk.com. It's the average transaction price by maker and also by vehicle. Okay, so what I find this fascinating stuff in that, here's a couple examples. Ford Motor Company. Last year, last December 2017, the average price was $40,421 per vehicle. This is no incentives. So when you look at percentage of change from December 2016 to December 2017, so year over year, it was up 2.5%. At $40,421. Now that includes Lincoln, which Lincoln has been doing a little bit better, so that should pull that number up. General Motors is $40,016 in December, and they're down 0.4% year over year. So GM has Buick, Cadillac, and GMC, and we know that Denali is selling like crazy on the GMC side, but their average transaction price is actually a little bit lower than Ford with Ford and Lincoln. On that fascinating. Fiat Chrysler, $37,446. They're $3,000 below that. So they're not, and that's probably the lack of a luxury brand. Alfa's trying to be the luxury brand, but that's probably lack of a true luxury brand. Other surprising things that kind of stood out to me, the cheapest cars were the Kia, Hyundai Kia, $25,546. So that's $15,000 per car less than
per car or per truck?
That's average transaction price across all their vehicles by maker.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not broken down in trucks yet. I'm gonna get the trucks and SUVs in a minute, but it's, I know I'm doing the finger thing this morning. I'm fired up. I was I'm telling you, I'm on fire today. Hyundai Kia 25,000. Nissan with Nissan and Infiniti is just less than 30,000. So they're, and then they're actually within $1,000 of American Honda. Acura Honda is 28,658. So I thought it was interesting. One of the highest ones, and this blew my mind a little bit until I started thinking about it. The highest average transaction price per maker was Volkswagen at $40,698. And you have to consider that's a Volkswagen group, and so it's Audi, Volkswagen, and Porsche. Yeah, and so, you know, that is kind of crazy. The average industry was $36,113, and that was up 1.6%. So sales are incrementally growing. I would make the argument they're not growing faster than inflation. So they're not really getting that much more expensive. But I thought it was interesting to see, you know, we have these views on brands and views on vehicles and things. But it's really interesting to see, like, yeah, Hyundai Kias are really cheap. I mean, the average transaction price is 25 versus, you know, other makers. And they just don't offer anything that in the hybrid.
Let's clarify. Hyundai.
Hyundai. Yes, I'm still struggling with that.
let's just clarify, because every time you say that, I'm like, Honda? Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Okay, sorry. But so, I mean, the interesting thing there is we have been citing that the average transaction price for a vehicle is $34,000. Mm-hmm. And what that means to me is it has gone up $2,000 to $36,000. I mean, that to me is the takeaway here, is the average transaction price is now $36,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it might have been 34 when I did this last year and did this year before. So it's gone up every year. So yeah, we're at 36,000 right now. And if it goes up 1.6% continuously, we'll edging closer to 40,000 on an average. So
crazy to me. Like, I looked up stats. Like, I've tried to do articles about how much you should spend on a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like and I could be totally making this up because it's probably been 2 years since I've written this article, but I feel like it was 30% of your income should be your vehicle. So what that tells me is there are a lot of people that are making $90,000 to $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
The average transaction price is $36,000. Like, that boggles my mind. Do people really make, like, across the United States? I could get it in a place like New York, Chicago, LA. Like, people are making six figures. Like, but does the average American really make that much money? That they're spending that much money on a vehicle?
Okay, so time out right here because we have to take a little side tangent. So stay with us. I'm going to cut this in a video in case you don't watch it. I have a friend who's an auto journalist, and he's been messaging me on Facebook quite a bit. I've been talking to him a couple of years now. And he is getting ready to make some life changes. He's going to leave his place in the middle of rural America. And he was recently negotiating his salary with a well-known media outlet in the six figures. And that was as a base associate editor. And there was been some job openings lately. There's been some changes in the industry. Roadkill Magazine is going to close. The website's going to close. The CNET Roadshow's hiring. And there's a few other places hiring. There's a Digital Trends that needs a car person in Portland. And we were discussing these places and these income levels. And the numbers he was throwing at me as what he was putting down for his expected salary was mind-blowing to me. But he was negotiating those salaries.
Maybe you and I are just too old.
I couldn't believe it. I thought the average automotive journalist, and I thought starting automotive journalist was probably early 30s. 30,000s maybe, and I thought maybe more seasoned was probably 45, and I thought more like editor level was 65-75, and apparently I was between 15 to 25,000 off in all those numbers.
Well, I will say, and, you know, without saying any names, I have known people who were younger than me who were negotiating for automotive writing type jobs who were in the mid-50s. So I don't think that you're necessarily far off, but that to me says that there's a shift going on in terms of salaries, because when I was talking to this person, it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and they were excited to get like $55,000. So
yeah, and that's surprising me. Typically, I don't know. So yes, people are making that much money. It's
2 years. I can actually afford a $36,000 transaction price for a vehicle. So we just circled right back there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they are, and all right. So on that thought, 30% you're mine. Let's start with the next chart is by segment. This is the average transaction price by segment. Luxury full-size SUV, which they say hyphen crossover. I don't know luxury full-size crossover, but okay. Luxury full-size SUV, the average transaction price is $83,277. I thought you were going to spit out your coffee there for a second. All right. And that is no change. That's flat year over year. Okay, so let's go. Let's step back from luxury full size. Luxury midsize is $55,588. Luxury compact is $44,239. So then let's move over to the truck side, because I think this is interesting as well. Full size pickup truck cost, the average transaction price of a full size pickup truck. Now keep in mind, this is no incentives. There's no incentives added to these figures.
I just can't be on the 80,000. I'm sorry. I like anything you just said right there. Still haven't. Go on.
$47,601. Average transaction price full size pickup. This still surprises me. Mid-size pickup. These mid-size trucks used to be. You could go buy a Frontier for $17,000 right now today. I mean that's what the segment was.
As we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
A base truck, which was a $20,000 truck.
Right. So mid-size pickup truck is $32,562. That's the average transaction price. And that tells me that people are buying the luxury trim levels of these trucks. On average, they're buying the luxury trim levels.
Yeah, they want the stuff.
Yeah. All right, so let's go full-size SUV. This is your Tahoes and your Yukons. $60,830 full-size SUV. Mid-size SUV, $38,139. And then you get into the stuff that I guess would be more reasonable. Compact SUV is $28,470, and subcompact is $24,310. The industry average is $36,113, which, as we said above, it's the same thing. What's interesting here is that there's two groups that have 2.5% increases year over year, and that's your luxury compact SUV and your compact SUV, which means people are buying the Rogues and the they're buying those at higher trim levels. They're buying those with technology features.
Well, you know, so I want to say that's not necessarily surprising. I feel like I've been making the argument for about 15 years now that just because somebody is buying small doesn't mean they're trying to buy cheap. Somebody who lives in a city isn't necessarily looking for your Econo box with roll-up windows and no air conditioning. They want the heated seats and the heated steering wheels, but they still want a small vehicle. So just because they're trying to buy something that's utilitarian and compact and will fit in an urban environment doesn't mean that they don't want all the whistles and bells, the navigation, the Apple CarPlay, which, by the way, I still hate it. The heated steering wheels and all of the stuff that, you know, Bluetooth audio, all the stuff that comes with having a nice, well-prepared vehicle. So that doesn't surprise me that people are going compact but buying luxury trims. I've been pontificating on that for years. That people don't, just because they're buying small doesn't mean they want cheap.
It's a very valid point. And then it's interesting. there's a Facebook group that we're both parts of, and one of the groups, guy posted a picture of a Ford Bronco in New York City, the older, like, 70s Ford Bronco. And next to that was a Jeep Wrangler, and I made the comment. I'm like, that's kind of weird to see a Jeep Wrangler in the city. He goes, in New York, they're all over the place. He goes, you'd be surprised. He goes, they deal with their potholes really well, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I can totally concur with that, because Chicago potholes will swallow your vehicle.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't get a lot. Please check out the site. Please look at the numbers. I don't get a lot of, like, I don't make a lot of sales off that data. I'm not able to sell the stories very well, but I just find it fascinating.
It's fascinating.
I mean, that's what people are spending the money on. And there's a 1 minute video. Trust me, it's a minute long. Just ding ding top it. So we should move on. So that if you're looking for a vehicle, a full size truck, prepared to spend $37,000. If you want a full size luxury SUV, it's $80,000 or more. Jill Shakespeare.
I can't be on that. That boggles my mind. That's like a really good salary.
All right, let's.
An $80,000 vehicle. I think I'll take the $80,000 vehicle.
Let's move on to what happens to your $80,000 vehicle. Recall. I want to talk about Ram's got a huge recall right now. 181,000 model year 2017 and 18 Ram 1500, 2500, 3500 pickups, and the chassis cabs 4500, 3500, 5500. Basically, it's anything with a steering column gear shifter, which is interesting to point out. There is a thing, it's a BTSI, which is the. Oh, it's the. I just had it highlighted. Where did it go? It's a brake safety thing, and it gets too hot, and the truck slips out of gear. Basically, what happens? Brake transmission shift interlock pin overheats, and the truck slips out of gear. All right. Basically holds in a park, and the pin goes in, and it gets too hot, and the pin slips and drops down. What's interesting about this, and I bring it up, is it's one more, like, thing for Ram to talk about how they're moving to their dial shifter and how much safer your dial shifter is versus the steering column. That's why I bring that up. I still don't like this. I don't like the rotary shifter. Not a fan. Yeah. So there's your thing.
Bother me.
I know. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Another thing, Ram. This is gonna be the last podcast to be basically sponsored by Ram. If you didn't know this, we're gonna talk about an article I wrote for PickupTrucks.com. I sold it last week. The Department of Justice issued a letter with a list of settlement demands, literally settlement demands, to Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. This is over the EcoDiesel emissions violations. This is a 2014 through 2016 EcoDiesels. Mm-hmm. So what it is the EPA says they found that FCA. So I'm going to use some acronyms here. We know what EPA is. I'm not going to explain that to you. EPA accuses FCA of using defeat devices. They found some software in the trucks that would perform better on road testing, not in a lab. I've talked to FCA about this, and they are steamed. They call that complete. It's a lot going on here in that the Department of Justice, in their letter, says that they have found found intentional wrongdoing by FCA. They literally said that in the letter, they pointed it out. They want FCA to recall the vehicles. They want them to pay a substantial civil penalty. They're looking at criminal penalties, going after the person, I guess, in charge of regulatory action there. And even though FCA said, hey, we'll do these low or zero emissions mobility projects, they said, that's not enough. We want more. And what's interesting is I pointed this out in the article, is there's a lot of similarities here between the EPA and the FCA. And how did I cut my quote? There's a great quote I should bring up. I had a great quote. So there's a lot of similarities between Volkswagen and FCA. And Volkswagen had a $2.8 billion criminal fines, $14.7 billion in civil fines, and the guy just got sentenced to prison for like 10 years. Yeah, so it's a tough deal. Let me clarify here. The 17s and 18s are good. The 17 and 18s EcoDiesels are good. They passed inspection. They're fine. We're talking about the 14s through 16s. This isn't the last story that I'm probably right about this. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I could really see somebody going to jail. The Department of Justice is just done. they're just done with this whole getting around thing. So yeah, so keep an eye out for that, future stories. And you know what I'll do is I'll go back and find my story that I wrote and I'll put it on pickuptrucktalk.com, because I have this really great quote from the California board, one of the California Air Resource Board. She is one of the leaders of that board, and she basically said in her quote, "I think it's interesting that FCA is using the same lawyers that VW did." Yeah, so it's a very interesting story. A lot going on there. I probably won't get a RAM product for a while, but hey, that's okay. But that's all right. So Jill has gotten recently in a 2018 RAM 1500. This is the prior gen, but it's still a great looking truck and still drives right.
It is. So the interesting thing is, I wrote my article while I was on my way to France.
Oh, yes.
I basically titled the article "Last Look at the 2018 Ram 1500," because the vehicle introduction was in Detroit, and they are doing the media launch in March. So we are going to be seeing the 2019 models really soon. And kind of in the lead of my article, what I say is, you know, because this truck is, the design is basically 10 or 11 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a new truck. And that's really old in the life cycle of vehicle design now. Most lifespans are only about 5 to 7 years. And then they're redesigning it, doing an all new model. So the fact that they've held on to this for 11 years is kind of noteworthy. And, you know, I noted in my article that it was very interesting that getting in, you could see why they waited, because it's still a very attractive truck. You know, from the classic design, and granted, they've tweaked it along the way. They've done little refreshes. They've, you know, changed the grill. But the bones of the truck are really good. And the model I had was actually the tungsten version, so it was like the limited tungsten with the Berber rugs and the little leather seat pouches on the back and all the little fine stitching. So it was really well done from like an interior elegance perspective, with heated seats, heated steering wheels. And I don't have the Monroney in front of me, but I want to say the vehicle as tested was actually, you know what, I think I have my article that I wrote. It was around $65,000 was the tested price. $63,870. So, yeah. So talking about your average transaction price for a full-size truck, that's about $20,000 more, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's a lot of money for that kind of truck. But you get into that truck, and it's clear why trucks are selling. I mean, it's a beautiful truck.
No, and you know, they had, like, the two-level to the center arm console. So, like, there was a really deep well that you could probably put, like, a laptop, an iPad, a larger purse. I usually carry almost a wallet-sized purse, and that fit in the top tier, and it just kind of flat in there. So if I was going to the gym, I'd just take my purse and stick it in there and close it in, and you couldn't see it. There's lots of side cubby holes for water bottles or sunglasses or things like that. So there's just, like, plenty of places where you could hide or store things inside the cabin. And then the truck that I had a covered truck bed, but, you know, so you could put something in there if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, it's just... It was an attractive truck. It was a nice ride. Totally tackled those Chicago potholes really well. But the interesting thing that I noticed, there are two things, and there will probably be more after I drive the 2019 model, but there are two things specifically that I'm really looking forward to in the next gen. And thing number one is the placement of the USB ports. because, you know, I like to talk about auto stop. I like to talk about USB ports and, you know, those are things and Apple CarPlay. Those are the three things that I keep getting hung up on. But USB ports in the 2018 model are kind of hidden. And I actually had to post it on my Facebook page because I couldn't find where the USB ports were. And I'm like, surely there are USB ports. Even if there's only one, there's got, because like I saw the cord management system, but I was just like, I'm clear. And it was after the first time I got back from France. So I'm like, clearly I'm jet lagged. I'm missing something here. I don't, and the designer actually chimed in on my Facebook page and was like, oh yeah, they're in the top tier of the center console. But they're not faced towards the driver. They're kind of like faced backwards. So like even when you open it up and you look, you're like, I don't see them. But you have to kind of, well, maybe if somebody were in a normal driving position, they would see them. But in my far forward driving position, I totally missed them. And the designer of the vehicle actually had to point out where the USB ports were. So on the new model, the USB ports are actually on the center stack. So right up front, they're not hidden for easy access. So that's thing number one that I'm really looking forward to. And thing number two is, what did they say? It's like a 12-inch screen.
Oh, yeah. It's the Tesla screen. I think it's like...
People are not looking forward to it. I think it looks really cool. And it's not standard, so if you didn't want it, you don't have to get it. You can get this stupid 8.4-inch whatever. But the 12-inch, it is, like, tablet size.
Yeah, it is.
Like, most laptops are 13-inch. You know, the screens are 13, like, my laptop screen is 13 inches, so you just take a little bit off of it and you flip it vertical. And you can do, like, one big screen, so you can see the map all in vertical. You can divide it up and have, like, your map here and your audio here. It's configurable. Like, one of the things I really like about the FCA touchscreen is kind of like, you know, the touchscreen of your cell phone where you can touch it and move apps around. So, you know, it'll be configurable like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their Uconnect system is, to me, the best in the industry. I mean, it's an amazing system. And now you put that in a bigger screen. Whoa.
So I had an enjoyable test week in the RAM. I did not get anywhere near the fuel economy that they said I should get, but keeping in mind most of my driving was within the city and stop sign on every block in Chicago. So lots of stopping and starting. I never get the fuel economy numbers. So, but yeah, overall, really enjoyed it. I thought it was very easy for somebody who's my size to drive. I don't recall if it had blind spot monitoring, but I didn't think I needed it. But the big backup camera, always helpful. The vehicle was just large enough that I couldn't fit it into my garage. just a little bit too long, and so like when you park in a parking spot at the grocery store, I felt like I took up 2 or 3 feet of the parking space behind me when I would pull into the spot. So I have to like park at the back of the lot, so I wasn't schmo taking up 10 parking spaces at the
time. Because nobody wants to be a schmo.
I don't want to be a schmo. That's just me, maybe. But no, so I just, very enjoyable. And so basically what that did, driving that 2018 model right before I'm getting ready to drive the 2019 model, I'm like really excited because if the 2018 model is still that good, just imagine how good the 2019 model is.
Yeah, I've been on different podcasts and talked to friends about this and colleagues, and it's interesting. Ram has had the oldest truck in the market for quite a while, but it's still a really good truck. Like it's hard to like say, you know, sometimes you get snobbish and say, I want the newest and greatest. And it happens to us all the time. You know, we get a product, we're like, oh, we haven't updated this long time. You need to update it, you know. But with this one, I never felt like it needed update. It just, I mean, and so Ram, the pressure was on them, especially the designers. Like, you got to take it to the next level, but you're already at a really good place. So how do you do that? And I'm like you. I'm doing the trip and going to drive the Ram as well. And I really am excited. Ram, to me, makes one of the most beautiful-looking trucks in the marketplace. The interiors are top-notch, and the infotainment is top-notch. The powertrains are getting even better. I would be really interested to see how the e-torque drive works and how that's going to improve their fuel economy. EcoDiesel is a I like the EcoDiesel. It's a great engine. And so, you know, I I think the statement to make the best with Ram is that over the past 10 years, they've had the oldest truck in the marketplace. However, if you look at them versus Chevy and Ford, they have made the most leaps and bounds forward as a truck maker out of all of them. I mean, what their trucks used to be, what they are today, is phenomenally better. And so the sky is the limit, and the new truck is just, it's really exciting. It's really exciting, and it's hard to like get excited about the new trucks. We have so many new trucks going on right now without talking with the Ram first, because it's such an exciting truck. So well, good. I'm glad you got a chance to drive it. I'm glad you got a chance to drive around the E18. I've been fortunate enough. I've gotten plenty of Rams over the years, and I've appreciated every time I get one. It's just a great driving truck, too. So, all right. So make sure you follow us on Pickup Truck Talk on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Pinterest. I don't know how to use Pinterest, but somebody else I pay is doing that. So find us over there. I have no idea. We're on YouTube. Yes, we're trying to grow our YouTube channel. We're getting demonetized today because we don't have 1,000 subscribers. Wonk, wonk. So make sure you subscribe. And make sure you check us out on PickupTruckTalk.com. And we'll see you down the road.